Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because in our weakness we can do nothing good without you, give us the help of your grace, that in keeping your commandments we may please you both in will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the lessons.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Of the storm. reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. The Via Media, or the Middle Way, is one of the most distinctive characteristics of the Anglican tradition in which the Episcopal Church is rooted. In theological terms, the Via Media represents the blending of elements from the Protestant Reformation with elements from Roman Catholicism in a kind of happy medium, the best of both worlds. Not surprisingly, this approach to faith works well for people who tend to see the shades of gray in a situation rather than black and white absolutes. Indeed, you might say that as Episcopalians who follow the Via Media, we are the people of both and rather than the people of either or. Our view of God's reign is expansive and inclusive rather than narrow and exclusive. That said, the readings appointed for this sixth Sunday after the Epiphany present us, the people of both and, with what at least first glance appears to be a series of either-or propositions, or what Pastor Jocelyn Ogden Schaefer calls binaries. The prophet Jeremiah tells us that those who trust in the Lord are blessed, those who trust in mere humans are cursed. Psalm 1 repeats that theme. The righteous are like well-watered trees that flourish. The wicked are like chaff blown away by the wind. Then there's the gospel reading, an excerpt from Luke's version of the Beatitudes, sometimes referred to as the Sermon on the Plain, in contrast to Matthew's version known as the Sermon on the Mount. Here we get not one, but four contrasting states: poor and rich, hungry and full, weeping and laughing, and hated and revered. Four blessings paired with four woes. What are we to make of this? Well, let's take a closer look at those verses from Luke. It is important to understand their context. In the verses immediately preceding the Sermon on the Plain, Jesus has spent the night up on a mountain, praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them to be his apostles. Then Jesus came down the mountain with the apostles and the larger group of disciples to a level place, or a plain, a place filled with a great crowd from all of Judea, from Jerusalem in the south to Tyre and Sidon in the north, a crowd that included Jews and Gentiles alike. The fact that in Luke's version the sermon occurs on a level place or a plain rather than on a mountain is significant. Theologian Ronald J. Allen has noted that in the writings of five of the prophets, Jeremiah, Daniel, Joel, Habakkuk, and Zechariah, level places were associated with human brokenness. The level places were places of corpses, disgust, disgrace, idolatry, suffering, misery, hunger, annihilation, and mourning. In Luke's account, Jesus met people in the level places of their lives, in the midst of their suffering, bringing them both healing actions and healing words. In so doing, Jesus illustrated vividly for us what the reign of God looks like here on earth. All are welcomed, poor and rich, hungry and satisfied, weeping and rejoicing, hating and revering, and all are healed. But what about those binaries? It is all too easy, I think, to fall into the trap of treating the Sermon on the Plain as prescriptive, as basically do this or else. Read this way, the Sermon on the Plain is at best a warning and at worst a judgment about who will get into heaven, blessed are you, and who will not, woe to you. So no wonder so many people have found it so difficult to relate to the Beatitudes over the years. If you follow this logic, we should all aspire to being poor, hungry, sorrowful, and/or reviled. But that just doesn't make sense. It flies in the face of our understanding that God is a God of love, who creates us in God's own image, who calls us good, and who desires shalom, that sense of completeness, healing, and wholeness for all creation. What does make sense is to understand the Sermon on the Plain as being descriptive rather than prescriptive in nature. It describes what is. God is with us in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, whether we are rich or poor, hungry or well-fed, happy or sad, popular or reviled. In first century Palestine, it was assumed that health, wealth, happiness, and the esteem of others were signs of God's favor or blessing. So Jesus did not need to assure his listeners that God favors those who are rich, well-fed, happy, and revered by others. What Jesus did need to do was to assure them that God also favors those who are poor, hungry, sad, and or hated by others. This then truly is a both and not an either or. God's blessing is available to all, no exceptions. Another way of putting this is to say that Jesus was describing what is life-giving and what is not. Pastor Joanne Taylor summarizes it nicely. We are blessed when we are God-centered, regardless of our earthly circumstances, and we find woe whenever we are self-centered. Friends, in these disorienting times, many people are feeling for a variety of reasons that they are living in one of those level places, a place of brokenness, a place in which hope is hard to find. Perhaps you are one of those people. And even if you are not, perhaps you can remember a time when you were in that painful place, desperately in need of the assurance of God's blessing. And if you're wondering, what can I do in the face of so much suffering? Take a look around you. Notice who is marginalized, who is under threat. Do what you can, with where you can, with what you have been given in time, talent, and treasure. Be God's hands and feet and heart in this broken world. No one except God can do everything, but everyone can do something. We can all pray without ceasing. We can all find ways to support efforts to alleviate suffering on the local, state, national, and international levels by engaging in direct action, by offering financial support. In all these things, we can actively choose to be a blessing to others. May God give us the courage and strength to do so, now and always. Amen. Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and the world.
We pray for all your faithful people and those who are called to lead, that we may walk in your way of love and manifest your light to the world. May the light of Christ be made manifest.
And the glory of the Lord shine upon us.
We pray for all nations of the world and those in authority who will work toward peace and equity for all their people. May the light of Christ be made manifest.
And the glory of the Lord shine upon us.
We pray for people everywhere that their lives may be full, that their families may be secure, and their hearts be filled with your peace. May the light of Christ be made manifest.
And the glory of the Lord shine upon us.
We pray for the city of Davis and for Yolo County, that neighbors care for neighbors, creating a truly loving community for all. May the light of Christ be made manifest.
And the glory of the Lord shine upon us.
We pray for those who are suffering in ways that are known or hidden to us. We pray for those who struggle mightily in this life and for those whose light is dimming. We pray for those who are ill and those who care for them. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. May the light of Christ be made manifest.
And the glory of the Lord shine upon us.
We pray for all those who have been called into eternal life with you, and thank you for the light they brought to the world. We pray for the repose of the soul of Jeff Burnell and for his family and friends who mourn. May light perpetual shine upon them, Lord.
And may their memories be a blessing.
Gracious and loving God, we come before you with no gifts but ourselves. Accept and receive our lives so that we may be manifestations of your presence. We ask that you let the light of your Spirit shine within and among us so that we may share in the mystery of your person, purpose of blessing for all creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
And the peace of Christ be always with you.
And also.
There, it's on. Oh, good. Okay. Whoops. Okay. I thought maybe I ought to introduce myself because I'm here usually, but I've been gone for a year. So if you don't know me, I'm the Reverend Debbie Hawkins. Pamela's gone today, obviously, on a family day off. And next week, she and our darling deacon and the whole vestry will be gone on retreat. So you're going to have to put up with Ernie and I again next week. But next week, the preacher will be the Reverend Jim Richardson. And he has written a book about one of his ancestors who was part of the abolitionist movement. So after the 10 o'clock service next week, he will also be holding a forum. So anybody who's interested in hearing more can attend that. Okay. Announcements other than that, please read things in your yellow sheet because there's lots going on. Couple things on Wednesday night, something on Thursday night, and then there's, you know, more. So keep it and read it and inwardly digest it and all that sort of good stuff. And act on it. Thank you. That's the deacon's job to tell us what to do. Are there birthdays celebrate? Anything else that we need to announce other than birthdays and all that kind of good stuff? Anybody have birthdays or celebrations or there's one? Morgan is three? Well, we need to pray for that. Yeah. Are there others? Okay, well, the birthday prayer for celebrations and milestones on the bottom of page.
Somebody has an answer.
Ma'am.
Has you called for birthdays?
Yep.
My son was 41 yesterday.
Oh. So we got a 3-year-old and a 41-year-old.
And my grandson turns 4 on the 18th.
And a 4-year-old. We got 3 birthdays we're praying for. So let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And then communion. For good and sufficient reasons, we are breaking from usual custom, but not doing something out of the ordinary. So you'll notice that there is a offertory hymn, which all y'all are going to sing. Okay? And then during communion, the choir is going to be singing an anthem. So when we come up for communion, we are coming up for strength and courage and forgiveness and renewal and, because it's and, as Margaret says, and it's another thing is it is a physical, a tangible reminder that we have been invited into and have actually accepted, even though we forget that sometimes, accepted this invitation into being part of the mystery of the Trinity. So as you prepare to come up and receive bread and wine in your hands and in your body, listen to the music and realize that we are walking with the Holy Trinity all about us, and we are part of that life, okay? And the way you get to do that here, if you want to receive the bread that's been intincted, dipped in the wine, come on over to this side. It will be placed in your hand. If you wish to receive just the bread and then drink from the common cup, that's on this side. And in either case, the bread is gluten-free, so you don't have to worry about that. And now let us walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of your glory in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your words spoken through the prophets, and above all in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. For in these last days you sent Jesus to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In Christ you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In Christ you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he died for us, our Savior Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember Christ's death, we proclaim Christ's resurrection, we await Christ coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Savior of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us in the sacrament of Jesus Christ, through whom we are acceptable to you, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ and bring us to that heavenly country where with blessed Martin and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your children. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation, by Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we pray, first in Spanish and then in English. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are very members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. May Christ, the Son of God, be manifest in you, that your lives may be a light to the world, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
To love and serve the Lord.
Thank you.